We're holding on Samach Ches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We were discussing the case. We have Machlokas Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where a person stole an animal, for example, and then we said he was makdish it, and then he shechted it. So we talk about he doesn't pay tashlum kefil, but not tashlum abav chamisha. So Reb Yochanan argued that when what do you mean he was makdish it on the face of it, the ganav can't be makdish it. We're talking about after yush, and that yush is not kona for him yet. Otherwise, how is there even a possibility of him paying tashlum abav chamisha anyhow? Again, you know, once it belongs to him, then as we said before, shaloyu teveach shaloyu moichet. Whereas Reish Lakish had answered, Reish Lakish, who holds that yush by itself is enough to be kona. So he answers that what we mean is shehikdish means that after the ganav had stolen it, the owner was makdish it. So we said, and in this connection, we mentioned something from a Mishnah in Ma'is Hasheni, Masechta Ma'is Hasheni, which we're going to discuss soon in a little more detail, where you have a case where a person has a vineyard of Kerem Revai, so it's also to eat without being redeemed. So there were people who want to go, who are Hasidim, who want to make sure that there's no possibility that other people are going to end up doing an Aveda. They would go and put down some money in order to be poida any fruit that might be picked from that vineyard. The point being, Reish Lakish says, so you see that even though these grapes are not in their possession anymore, because on the face of it, we're talking about that the other people already picked them and took them, nevertheless, the owner has the ability to be mechalal them. And then we're saying, if he has the ability to be mechalal them, then he also has the ability to be makdish them when they're not in his rishus. Therefore, this owner would have the ability to be makdish the animal even after the ganav stole it. So then, Reish Lakish said, that's why, in that case, the Braisa was saying that he doesn't pay Tashlumei Dalad Behei, because the animal now belongs to Hekdish. Well, the Gemara asks, in that case, for Hari Chazra Karen Labailin. So in that case, if you're telling me that the owner was Makdish the animal, well then, so it becomes Hekdish, according to Reish Lakish, wherever it is. So in effect, it's already been returned to the owner. The whole concept of kefil only applies when it's found in his hand. Must it be yada yagneva? And here it's not in his hand anymore because here it already belongs to Hekdish. In effect, we can say he returned it to the owner, and the owner was now makdish it. And yet the Braisa is saying that he has to pay kefil. It's only saying he doesn't pay abav chamisha only because Hekdish is involved, but so why don't we consider it as though basically he returned it already? And the answer is kisha omad vadin, because we're talking about that he already went to Beis Din before he was makdish it. The case was already brought to Beis Din. So before the owner was makdish it, he already became chayev and kefil. The fact is, in that case, it's still not, the Gemara is going to go work out now what stage of the Din Torah are we talking about. But the fact is, we're talking about before as we're going to say, before they actually paskened it. And meanwhile, after all, the Ganav is not admitting to it. Otherwise you just pay up and that's that. So that's why Reish Lakish still had to resort to tsnuin to establish the point that he can be makdish it when it's not in his rishus, because right now it's still not in his rishus because the ganav hasn't yet admitted that in fact he has to pay, and Beis Din, as we're going to say in a moment, does not yet actually told him go give it to him. That's how Tosfos sort of made a Peretz talks about it. The Pnei Yeshua talks about it a little bit differently, as we'll see in the continuation of the Gemara. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, "Hey, Fidami, well, what exactly do we mean when we say that Omad Badin? Ida Amri Tsei Temlo, if we're talking about that Beis Din actually told him, go pay the kefil, my Iria Hikdish, then what does it matter whether the owner was Makdish it or not? Why do we have to mention that? Afilo Lo Hikdish Nami Lo Machayve, even if he hadn't been Makdish it, he wouldn't be Chayev at that point. For the Tashlom Abav Hamisha. The Omar Rava, as in fact Rava says, say Tenloy, if the Beis Din told him, go give it to him. So now it's considered in effect as though it's already, in a certain sense, we consider as though it was already returned. Now, now if he goes and shechts it or sells it, potter, then he would be potter from the tashlumah abba hamisha. My time, a kivin debaskol a milse, because once the beis din already decided the psak din and told him that he has to return it, and instead b'tavachomacher havelay gazlan. At that point, he becomes not a ganav, but rather a gazlan anymore. A gazlan, any mashalim tashlumah abba hamisha, and a gazlan doesn't pay those extra payments. So now, based in the pashtus, can sanction him in other ways. They can probably put it, if nothing else, they can put him in chayim for disobeying their psak din. But they can't make him pay abba v'chamisha because now he's transformed from a ganav into a gazlan. On the other hand, continues Rava, chayiv atalitim loy. But if they only told him you're obligated to give him, and they haven't yet said go give it to him, tovachomachar, then mashalim tashlama abba v'chamisha. If now he shechts it or sells it, he will pay tashlama abba v'chamisha. My time, even the like paska milsa, a school of milsa, the Bach says, which makes it the same as the expression before. Since the beis din has not yet made a final psak, akati ganavu, then therefore he can still be considered a ganav when he shechts or sells now. And therefore, as usual, with a ganav, you can pay tashlumah abba v'chamisha. Tosfos points out, at this point, it is true that we are far enough along in the Din Torah that, based on a different Gemara, the Dayanim at this point can't make a pshara between them. Early, when people first come to a Din Torah, the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin that the Dayanim can try to make a pshara. They can try to make a compromise between them rather than have to go through the whole rigmarole of the Din Torah. But once they say chayiv atalitimoy, then it's too late to do that. It's not quite gemar din yet, as our Gemara is saying, but it's too late already for them to try to make a pshat. And there's the point that when they say chayiv atalitimoy, they still have the ability to change their mind. Once they say say tenloy, then they're foreclosing that. They're saying we're not at this point. We're not going to change our mind anymore. Anyway, the point is. So what do we mean over here? So again, when we're saying Kisha Omad Badin, we're talking about that he went to a Din Torah, and we're saying it's still not considered that he actually returned the animal yet, therefore the owner there. So now Rish Lakish is saying that he would be able to be that the owner would be able to makdish the animal while it's in the Ganav's Rishus. But if it's after Gmar Din, then there's no, if it's after Tsei Tenloy, then there's nothing to talk about at Tashlum Abav Hamisha anyhow, even if he hadn't been Makdish it, based on what Rava is saying, there wouldn't be Tashlum Abav Hamisha. So the Gemara says that's exactly it. Loitz Richa Da'amri Lei Chayav Atalitimoy. That would be exactly the case that Rish Lakish is talking about. Basin has only told him Chayav Atalitimoy. They've not yet told him to say tenloy. So now the owner is able to be makdish it. So now having been makdish it, now if the ganav goes and shechts or sells it, then he's potter from tashlumah abba v'chamisha, but otherwise he would have been chayev because it's still not gemar din and he's still considered to be in his possession. Now Rabbi Yochanan had said before, and the Gemara is going to discuss again on Omud Beis, that the owner can't be makdish it while it's in the ganav's rishus, because in order to be makdish something, it has to be fully in his rishus. Rish Lakish doesn't agree with that din, and he says that you see from this example of tsnuin in the Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni that you're able to be mechalal. Kerem Revai, that doesn't belong, that's not where the grapes are not currently in your possession. So Rish Lakish says by the same token, then you're able to do that with the same way you're able to be makdish an animal that's not currently in your possession. So now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of that Mishnah and of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to work out what exactly Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is on the subject. So the Gemara says Gufa. So getting back to what we said before, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gozov l'nisiyashu abaylim, a person stole and the owner had not yet had yush. Shneim en nechol mahakdish. Neither the original owner nor the ganav are able to be makdish this object. Zel afisha ena shaloi v'zel afisha ena birshosai. The gazlan can't because it's not his, and the owner can't because not in his rishus. And as we're going to talk about, as we talked about yesterday, we brought a pasuk, the ish yakdash, basic kodesh, and the Gemara is going to bring it again on Omen days, that we learn, the pasuk is saying that a person is makdash his house. We learn from that, it's like his house is something in his rishus. After all, you can't steal, or you can't take away a house which is attached to the ground. The same way, to be makdash anything else, it needs to be rishus. So we said Rish Lakish disagrees with that point on the basis of a Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni. So now we're going to analyze that Mishnah and see what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So the Gemara says, "Mi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? That you're not able to be makdish something that's not in your rishus." But Omer Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kastam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Halacha is always like a Stam Mishnah. Utnan. And we learn in a Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni, Kerem Revai, if a person has a vineyard with Revai fruit in it, and again, you're not allowed to eat that fruit without it having been redeemed, otherwise you have to take it to your Shalayim and eat it there, just like Maaseh Sheni, or you have to redeem it and transfer the Kedusha onto money, and then you take the money to your Shalayim. So when a person has a Kerem Revai, so he wants to make sure that other people should know not to go and pick fruit from it, because if they do, they're going to be doing an issur. They're going to be over on the issur of eating netzer avai. So hoyma, we're going to see in a second when we're talking about. But hoyma tsainin oisa b'kzuzos adam. People who have such a vineyard would mark it with kzuzos of dirt. And actually, explain that kzuzos means clods of dirt. So they would put clods. They would put clods of dirt all around the edges of it, and that would be when a person would see such a field, he would know that when a person would see such a vineyard, he would know that it's a Kerem Revai vineyard. And the Gemara interjects, why would they use clods of dirt for that purpose? Simona ki adama, the simon was meant to be that this place is like earth. Ma adama ika hanamina. Ultimately, you have hanah from dirt, because if you plant things in dirt, they will grow and you'll get a nice crop. Atainami, the same way this. Right now it's also b'kimi parka, but when you're poyde, then you'll be able to have hanah from it. Then the Mishnah continues, Vishal Orla, what about if the field or the vineyard, or not field, Orla applies only to trees. So what about if you have a plot of land with trees or grapevines or whatever that are Orla? How do you mark that people should know not to take from it? You use b'chausis. You use b'chausis to mark around the edges of it. What b'chausis is, we'll explain in a second. And Simona, the Gemara explains, the Simon is, Kechausis. It means that this place is like chausis. Machausis she'en hanomina, afhai delas behanomine. The same way as chausis, you have no, there's no practical use out, you have no hana from it. The same way here, it's orla, it's also hana, so you're not able to have any hana from it. What is chausis? So here Rashi explains, it means that you take bricks or roof tiles and you break them up into pieces. So now you're taking shards of earthenware and putting them all around. Tosfos objects to that there's a Gemara in Cholin that implies that those are two different things. Rashi himself in Cholin explains somewhat differently that it means grinding up, that it means when you take bricks and grind them up into a powder. They are also Tosfos objects. So Tosfos ends up explaining, so according to Rashi, chausis is some kind of clay or some kind of earthenware or brick or whatever that was broken up or crushed or ground up or something like that. Tosfos objects to all of that, and so Tosfos says that chausis is a kind of earth. However, and other Rishonim agree with that as well. It is a kind of earth. However, it's the kind where if you plant something in it, very little will grow. You won't even get back as much as you planted in a normal field, in a normal soil. You plant in a certain amount of grain, for example, you expect to get back a larger harvest than what you planted. The Gemara talks about in Pesachim, for example, that Hashem planted us in Golos with the idea that Hashem expects to collect a nice sized harvest of not just the Jews, but also Geirim, both Gashmias and Baruchnias, who've joined us throughout the generations. So normally you plant, you expect to get back more than you planted. Here, Tosfos explains, chaos is the kind of soil which is very bad for growing plants. If you plant in it, you won't even get back what you originally planted. Anyway, so that's therefore we call it that less that in hanah mina, you don't have hanah from it in the sense that you're not going to have any hanah as a farmer from planting on chausis soil. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. V'shar kvaros. What about if you have a field where there are graves and you have to make sure that koyanim and nazirim and people who are going to eat kodshim and whatever are not going to go in there? So v'sid. So you mark it with lime, which is white. U'memachah v'shoifich. And the Gemara interjects. Simona the chiver. The simon is because lime, which is made by burning limestone, they use it as mortar and plaster and whatever. The point is it's white. Perhaps some, so therefore it's like bones, which are also white. So it helps remind you that there are bones buried over here. And the Mishnah continues, you dissolve the lime in water and then you pour it over there. And the Gemara explains, this way it will be as white as possible. Now the Mishnah continues. Rav Shimon Gamliel, b'medvar amurim b'shviyas. Now Rav Shimon Gamliel says, when is all of this that you have to mark? Okay, but by the way, Tosfos wonders why didn't the Mishnah list them in order? First Orla, then Terem Revai, and after all, that's the order in which they happen. First the tree is Orla for 3 years, and then it becomes Terem Revai in the fourth year. So Tosfos just leaves the question open. A couple of Rishonim give reasons. The Shittim Kobetzes brings from the Rosh. The reason is, after all, this Mishnah is in the Sechta Maiseh Sheni, so therefore first it wants to discuss things that are related to Maiseh Sheni, where Terem Revai revived fruit has basically the same dinim as Maiseh Sheni, so therefore the Mishnah wants to begin with that. And then, by the way, it mentions the other thing. Shittim Kobetzes also brings another one from Talmidei HaRav Rabbeinu Peretz, because the Mishnah wanted to put together Orla and Beis HaKvaros together, where both of them there's an Isur Hanah. You can't have Hanah from Orla, and a Beis HaKvaros also there's a very limited kind of Hanah that you can have from it. So therefore the Mishnah wanted to put them together, and therefore it put Kerem Revivers. Anyway, so the Mishnah continues, Amrav Shimon Gamliel, Bamed Varam Amurim, when are we talking about that you have to mark the edges of the field or the vineyard or whatever, is Bashvias. He says, Dafka during Shmita, and the reason is, the Gemara interjects, the Hefker Ninu. After all, during Shmita, all the produce is Hefker, so you want to make sure that anybody who's coming to collect Hefker, Shmita produce, is not going to accidentally eat Revai, or Orla, or what have you, so therefore you mark the edges of the field with these things that people should know not to take from them. Abel, but he continues, Bishar Shnei Shavua, when you're talking about during the other 6 days, during the other 6 years of the 7 year cycle, where the fruit, after all, belongs to you. So what are people going on? What are you talking about? People are going to come in there and take the fruit. What business do they have taking the fruit in the first place? Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, Haliteo la Rosh Yamus. Feed the Rosha and let him die. In other words, we're not concerned that people are going to end up doing an Isser of eating Revai or Orla or whatever, because to begin with, they're doing something wrong by taking the fruit in the first place where it's not theirs. Now, there is an enormous amount of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim. What do you mean, how the Teiru the Rosh of the Yomus? What happened to the point of Koyisrael Arevim Zelazeh? What happened to the point that you have a mitzvah to prevent another Yid from doing an Aveir of Lefnei Ivel Osif and Michshol, and all kinds of things like that? So there's a lot of discussion about it. One thing is on that Mishnah, one of the Pirushim over there, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Malki Tzedek, explains that in this case, what are you going to do? If you mark your field, what is the guy going to do? We're saying he's a thief. He's bound to go and take things from other people's, from somebody's field. So if you mark your field, then he's going to say, okay, well, I don't want to be over on Orla or Netzer Revai. He's going to be a Frum Ganev, but he's going to say, okay, so I'll go steal from somebody else's field. So you marking your field is going to anyway cause him to steal from somebody else. It's going to be at somebody else's expense, and you can't do that. And you have a large number of explanations. The Radvaz talks about a couple of possibilities. One is where you're not obligated to do something where you're going to lose money. So therefore, so so here, You have to go and find this adoma or chausis or whatever to market. And why should you have to bother? It's a financial obligation on you to make sure that that gets done, to take out from your time and do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. Therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you're not obligated to do it. When there's no financial consequences there, then sure, you have to prevent a person from doing an aver. And then also, that Abbas's second answer is similar to Rav Yehuda ben Rav Malki Tzedek's answer, that we're causing him to do another Aveira, like this, you're marking your field, but he's gonna end up doing the Aveira, he's gonna end up doing the Aveira someplace else. And then there's a lot of other explanations. Maybe it means within the same Aveira itself. He's doing an Aveira. You don't have to prevent him. He's anyway stealing. You don't have to make sure that one act of stealing shouldn't also be an Isser of Orla or Netzer Avai or whatever. And then there's a lot of different explanations. There's many, many different explanations from throughout the generations that talk about the halachas of it and the details of it. The Sefer Yireim gives an example. He says that it means, for example, sure, tell the Rosha not to do an Aveira. He's not going to listen. Tough. It doesn't matter. You did your thing. Halitei the Rosha v'yamos. He may get a harsher punishment now because from Shemayim, because you actually warned him. Nevertheless, that's not your problem. And then you have different achronim talk about different applications of this in different other areas of halacha. When we say that versus when, for example, you have an example of it, the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Shabbos. Suppose you have a case where, let's say, for example, well, you have kind of the opposite of it, really. You have a case where a person accidentally put dough into the oven on Shabbos. If he leaves it there, he's going to be over on Melechus Oifer. If he takes it out, then he's over on Issa Drabbanon to take bread out of the oven. Nevertheless, we're going to allow him to do it, so he doesn't say we're going to allow him to be over on Issa Drabbanon to save himself from Issa Daraisa. So there we don't say Halitei Lodosh of Yomus. But there's all kinds of applications of this halacha. An interesting one, the Tzitz Eliezer brings a case. A person, a Yid, is driving on Shabbos and he asks you for directions. Are you allowed to give him directions where that'll, if you do, then he'll get there faster. He'll be doing less chilul Shabbos because every time he presses on the pedal, for example, he's burning more fuel and causing more chilul Shabbos. So Tzitz Eliezer says this would be an example of a literal Rosh of a Yomus. You're not responsible for that. He's anyway doing an Aveda, driving on Shabbos, and he says you don't give him directions. He's going to have to go out of his way and do more chilul Shabbos. That's not your problem. But it's complicated. And again, you know, does that apply nowadays where your average person is Machal Shabbos is a Tinuk Shenishba is a whole nother question. So it's complicated basically, as things often are in Halal. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, the Mishnah continues. Now, we quoted this part before, that snuin, the people who are chassidim, and want to go the extra mile to prevent other people from doing an Aveira, and this is it. Now, according to some of those poskim, this would be an example, even though technically they could say, they don't want to use that, they want to be chassidim, and look and have extra Avas Yisrael, and look out for the other person, so what do? They put down some money, and they say, whatever is going to be picked, or whatever, hanyokat means that was picked, whatever was picked from this vineyard, is going to be mechulal, is going to be transferred onto this money. So now the Gemara is assuming for the purpose of the question that this part about the tsnuin is according to everybody. So again, you have the Tanakama saying that you have to mark the edges of the field, depending whether it's Kerem Revai or Orla or whatever. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel saying you don't even have to mark it during Shemitah. You don't have to mark it during the other years outside of Shemitah, because Halitei L'Rosh V'Yomos. And then the Tanakama would resume saying that Tznuin, to avoid the problem in the first place, would put down money, and they would say that anything that anybody takes from here is Mecholol on this. So Tosfos points out, actually, that one thing is, if we're talking, we still would have to understand that the Tznuin is talking about the other years, because during Shemitah, since the people are in fact Zoche, and it now, the whole point in the Sugya we're talking about over here is something where people are taking those grapes, and it doesn't actually belong to them yet. But the owner still retains ownership of them, and therefore he's able to be mechal of them. During Shemitah, once a person picks those grapes, they are his. Even the tznuin are not going to be mechal, not going to be able to be mechal of them at that point, because it doesn't belong to them at all. So necessarily, the tznuin, we have to be talking about during the other 6 years, and therefore the implication is, the Tanakhama is saying that the tznuin would do that, and so we see on the face of it that... So we see a person is able to be mechalo or makdish, something that's not in his rishus. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan is saying that halachic is stam mishnah, then how can Rabbi Yochanan be arguing with Rish Lakish on that? V'chitema, so now the Gemara continues, you're going to answer, Tosfos, by the way, also before we get to the next part, Tosfos deals with the question, when a couple of questions on this. One, first of all, when exactly would these tznuim say this? On the face of it, on the face of it, it's not going to help. They're saying kol anilkat, anything that was picked. So when are they going to say it? If they say it before people pick, then that's not going to help for it. People are still going to be over on the issue of revai when they eat it. They can't be saying it all the time for every time when people are picking it. You're going to say that they say it every evening. So fine, but what if people ate it? What if people ate picked from it and ate during the day? So Tosfos first explains what it means is they'd set aside the money before anything was picked, and they're saying when it's picked, then each fruit as it's picked will be mechulo on this money that I'm laying down now. And then in that case, it's an Eitzah Tovah. So later on, the Gemara explains, as far as Aniyim, the Gemara, the Reb Joyce is going to use the expression soon, that he does this Tosei Erev in the evening. So here, in the case of Kerem Revai, it doesn't matter, he's putting it down in advance. There we're going to see that it's an Eitzah Tovah for him to do it Davka in the evening. Anyway, Tosfos also points out that, why don't they just be mechalal everything all at once? You could be mechalal even when it's attached to the ground. So Tosfos says, first of all, they do want to have the mitzvah of taking their ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim. So they don't want to be mechalal all of it. And also because it's not going to help for anything that grows afterwards. So at least they're trying to do whatever they can. They may not be able to take care of 100% of the everything that was taken by people, but at least they'll do what they can. And the rest, at least on a daraisa level, will be bottle beroy. Tosfos discusses. Anyway, the point is that so now again, this, on the face of it, the Stam Mishnah is saying that Snuim had a way of being mechalal this Kerem Revai in such a way that the people who take from it, even during the other years, are not, they may be over on Issu Gezel, but at least they're not over on the issue of Kerem Revai. Now that requires us to say that even when something is not in somebody's possession, then he has the ability to be mechalal or makdish it, not like Rabbi Yochanan. V'chitema, so you're going to answer man tana tznuim Reb Shimon Gamliel. You're going to answer that maybe the part about the tznuin is actually the continuation of Rav Shimon Gamliel's statement, in which case, when Rav Yochanan says that he goes like a stam mishnah, he doesn't mean a stam mishnah, which is only a das yochid. Now, this is in parenthesis because the Maharam points out it doesn't even belong over here. If it actually says in the mishnah Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, then by definition, it's not a stam mishnah. So he takes out this line. Anyway, so you're going to answer that maybe the part of Tznuin is only appointed of Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Yechanan holds fine, the halacha is not like it. The problem is he does. Didn't Rabbi Bachana say in the name of Rav Yechanan, Kol Mokum Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel v'mishnasenu, any place throughout Mishnayos where Rav Shimon Gamliel says a din, halacha k'moisei, the halacha is always like him, chutz me'orev v'tsaidon urayach roina. Except for three cases where these are the simonim for them. Orev is a case at the end of Baba Basra, involving what exactly is the scope of the responsibility of an orev for a loan. Sidon, or Sidon, whatever, is a case we learned about in Masech Gittin involving a get al Tanai, where the husband wanted his wife to give him a certain object, and that object was lost or destroyed, and instead she wants to pay him the value of it. Does that work or not? Raya Achrona is a case in Sanhedrin involving where Beis Din tells a person to bring rayas, for his case, and he doesn't get them in time. Anyway, the point is that other than that, Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is always like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on the Mishnah. The reason behind that, by the way, it's broad. I think the Rishalmi says an expression, halachas k'zuvis hoya oimer mi beis dinoi, because whenever we say an opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, it's always a decided halacha that was decided by his beis din, and then basically published, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel agreed with it, and it was published in his name. So in other words, most of the time when we have Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it means it's not just his opinion, it's the opinion of all the other chachamim of his times as well. The Sefer Doros HaRishonim, a Sefer on Jewish history, has an interesting take on it. He says, it seems, based on other Gemaras, that there was a period of time when Rav Shimon Gamliel was not able to sit with the other Chachamim and then learn together and pask in Halacha together. And the reason for that would have been because in that time the Romans were very suspicious of the Nasi, and they said they'd suspect him and the other Chachamim were plotting together against them or whatever. So whenever the Chachamim had a consensus on a certain din, they would then go, they'd send a messenger, let's say, to discuss it with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and if he agrees, then they would publish it in his name. So therefore, most of the time the Halacha is like him, because it generally represents the consensus of all the Chachamim. Anyway, the point is, so even if you're going to say that the part about the Tznuin in the Mishnah is only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that still doesn't help us. The fact is, according to Rav Yochanan, the halacha ought to be like him. So then, how can Rav Yochanan say that you can't be makdish something that's not in your rishus? So Amri, so they answer back, loy tema kolam nilkat mizeh. The answer is, in Rav Shimon Gamliel's wording, don't say that he says that the Tznuin say whatever has been collected from this vineyard is going to be mecholam on that money, which, yeah, that would be the problem, that it means that you can't do that according to Rav Yochanan because it's not in your possession anymore. Rather, say the word hanukat means anything that will be collected from this. Well, it's not yet collected. He's still able to be makdish it, even according to Rav Yochanan, because it's definitely still in his possession. Nobody's took it yet. Nobody took it yet. And Tosfos points out, this shows us as a source then that you're able to be mechalal ma'aseh sheni even when it's attached to the ground. Now the question is, well, mi omer Rav Yochanan hachi? Well, now the question is, did Rav Yochanan still actually say that? In other words, can we still make that work according to Rav Yochanan's shita? Well, omer Rav Yochanan tznuin, v'rav doisa omru davar achav. Rav Yochanan said that the tznuin of this Mishnah in Ma'aseh Sheni that we just quoted, and Rav Doisa from a Braisa that we're going to quote now, they're both saying the same thing. Rav Doisa, Nilkat Kamar, and the case that Rav Doisa is going to speak about is going to be about produce that was already harvested, or that was already picked, rather. D'tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer. Now you have like this. We know that when it comes to leket, that the poor people are allowed to collect, only if one or two stalks fall at a time are the poor people allowed to collect it as leket. If three or more fall, they're not allowed to. The problem is, not all Amiyim know that concept. So what should the owner do in order to prevent that the aniyim shouldn't be accidentally over on Gezel? Before we were talking about, we said Haliteo Varosh of Yamos, but that was where people are deliberately going into the vineyard and taking grapes that don't belong to them. Here we're talking about the poor people who are collecting leket, and they figure whatever falls we can keep, and they don't realize this din, this distinction between two and three. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos points out there's another point as well. When one or two stalks fall, and it's considered leket, like all other matnas aniyim, is potter from truma and meiser. But if it's not leket, it's chayiv in truma and meiser. He wants to make sure that these aniyim don't accidentally be over on eating tevel. So what does he do? Rabbi Yehuda, a shachris balabayis omer. What the balabayis should do is every morning the balabayis should stand there, omer v'omer, should stand and say, Kol shiyoka to aniyim ayoyim, whatever the aniyim are going to collect today, yehei hefker, will be considered hefker, and that takes care of all the problems. Now it's not gezel, because it's hefker, and now it's a potter from maiser, because it's hefker. Rav Doisa omer li toisei erev omer. Rav Doisa says the other way around. What he does is in the evening, after the aniyim have spent a full day collecting leket, omer, then he should say, Kol shaliktu aniyim yehei hefker. Whatever the aniyim have collected should be hefker. So now Tosfos points out that it's not a quantity of dosa that he couldn't do it earlier in the day, but it's an Eitzah Tova, because after all, if you say Rav Dosa is saying, says Tosfos, if he were to make this announcement in the morning, then all the Aniyim are going to say, oh, well, then in that case, we may as well grab as much as we can. So like this, at least he wants that the Aniyim should limit themselves how much they're gathering, so he's going to make this declaration only in the evening. The Aniyim who know better are going to take only one or two. If you have a couple of Aniyim over there who don't know better and they take three or more, then fine, his declaration will take care of the problem of Gezel and the problem of Tevel. Anyway, the point is, Rav Dosa is saying that he's saying in the evening, what they collected today shall be Hefker. Now Hefker in that sense is like Hekdish. If you can't be Makdish something when it's not in your possession, according to Rav Yochanan, you shouldn't be able to be Makdish it either. Now Rav Yochanan is saying that Rav Dosa and the Tznurim are saying the same thing. So therefore that means that he's understanding that the Tznurim are talking about grapes that were already picked. So now, one way or the other, either then that part about the Tznurim is according to the Tanakhama, and then we should say Halachic Iskam Mishnah, or we should say it's according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but Rav Yochanan holds that usually, including in this case, the Halacha should be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So you have a problem. How can Rav Yochanan hold that you can't be Makdish, Dovash, or Inibir Shusay when it comes out from what he's saying that you could? So the Gemara answer is Epoch. The answer is you have to flip around and in the Braisa and say that Rav Yehuda and Rav Dosa's opinions have been reversed. Rav Dosa would be the one who says that you make this declaration in the morning because according to him you can't do it in the evening because by that time it's already been picked and it's not in your Rishus anymore. And Rav Yehuda would be saying you could do it in the evening because he doesn't have a problem with that. So therefore, so what Rav Yehuda is saying will still fit. The Tznuin, we're now going to say, are talking about, they're not talking about the grapes that were already picked and are not in their Rishus. They're talking about the grapes that will be picked, call them Slakit, as we said before, anything that will be collected. And then Rav Dosa, according to this amended version of the Braisa, is also going to be saying that we're talking about the stalks of grain that have yet to be picked up by the Aniyim. Well, then why are you flipping around the Braisa? Instead, flip around what Rabbi Yochanan says. The Emo, once you say, Tznurin Rabbi Yehuda Amar Dabar Achad. Once you correct Rabbi Yochanan's statement and say that the Tznurim are saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is Amri. The answer back, Lois Sagid, of necessity, we're going to have to flip around this Braisa for a different reason. Even if you didn't have the problem with Rabbi Yochanan, just looking at the Braisa itself, you have a problem. It comes out from this Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of Breira. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when he's standing there in the morning and saying whatever will be picked, whatever the four people will take as leket is hefker, but we don't know when he says that which sorts those are going to be. We say that breira has to apply, and only during the day as each piece is picked up, then it goes into that category. That would mean that Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of breira. V'shamin and leil Rabbi Yehuda ba'amad d'lesei breira. Yet we find elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of breira. The Tanan, because we learn in a Mishnah. Now, the Gemara brings this Mishnah in about eight places in Shas. It's the Maharil comments on that, one of his Talmidim, who seemingly quotes him as saying it's odd that this Mishnah is quoted in so many places in Shas. Anyway, though, the point is that now, strictly speaking, not everything that we're going to quote is from a Mishnah. It comes from a Sechta Tmai, but not all of it is in the Mishnah. Only the part until Divrei Rav Meir. The rest of it, the other opinions that we're going to bring, are from a Braisa. So in fact, maybe the Girsa, instead of Ditnan, should be Ditanya, and the Gemara is quoting a Braisa. Anyway, Halakeach Yain Mibena Kusim. If a person is buying wine from Kusim, now he's buying, Rashi explains, Erev Shabbos Bena Shmoshes, so he doesn't have time to take Truma and Maisa from it before Shabbos. Elsewhere, Rashi explains that what it might be is that he might not have Tohar Kalim to put the Truma in, for example. Whatever the case, the point is that, So now he wants to designate Truman. But now the problem is the Kusim, as we know. So first of all, as far as their wine, Tosfos points out in a sugya, this is also brought in Masechta Gittin, is one of the eight places in Shas where this is brought. And Tosfos explains over there that even according to the opinions that Kusim Geirei Arayis, that they were never true Geirim in the first place, nevertheless, since as far as the Chachamim knew they had given up Avodah Zarah, then they didn't ask for their wine. Eventually they discovered they are worshipping Avodah Zarah, and they became considered like Goyim Gmurim, but we're talking about before that point. Anyway, Tosfos also discusses over there the problem is the Kusim themselves hold of taking Truma and Meiser, but they don't hold of the concept of Lifnei Iver, so they don't mind selling Tevel wine to somebody and not telling him that it wasn't Meiser, and they don't care the person is going to go drink Tevel. They don't care about that. So now you have to take out Truma and Meiser from it. And again, either you don't have time because Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes to actually separate out the Truma and Meiser, or for example, you don't have Kalim to put it in or whatever. So the point is, Omer, so he can say, Shnei Logan Shani Osset. So suppose he bought 100 Logan of wine. So he says, Shnei Logan Shani Osset Mahaprish, 2 Logan that I'm going to separate after Shabbos, Harehe and Truma, I'm designating them as of now Truma, because you need 2 out of 100 approximately for Truma. Asora my solution, another 10 are going to be designated my solution. Tisha my Sasheni, another 9 are going to be designated as my Sasheni, because my Sasheni is 1/10 of what's left over after you take out Truma and Meiser. So now it's not exactly 10 and it's not exactly 9. We're rounding off a little bit. It would be 9.8 and 8.8 or whatever. Anyway, so you can do that. Umeichel v'shoisim yad, and then immediately he can be machalol the ma'aser sheni on whatever money he has in the house, because at least he should try to fix up whatever he can. The truma and the trumas ma'aser. There's no choice. He's going to have to separate them out after Shabbos, and he's going to have to rely on Breira, because there's no choice. He doesn't have the time or the kalim or whatever to separate them now. Ma'aser sheni, though, is also for him to drink until he redeems it. So that at least umeichel, Rashi explains, it should be machalo the ma'aser sheni there on the spot. And that way, at least as much as possible, when he's drinking, then there won't be a problem that he's drinking ma'aser sheni that hasn't been redeemed. Tosfos there in Gittin argues on that and presents a couple of other possibilities of what meichel means. One of them meaning that he can mix it. Meichel would be related to the word meichal, which means that he can mix the wine with water and start drinking right away. Miyad, right away. Anyway, Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that's allowed because Reb Meir holds a breira. So it comes out, in other words, according to Reb Meir, at the end, after Shabbos, when you take out your two for Truma and your 10 for Meiser Rishon and so forth, those will have been retroactively the same 2 and the same 10 that were designated as such at the beginning of Shabbos. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah or the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Oystrin, 3 other Chachamim say that it's also on the face of it because they don't hold a Breira. So in other words, according to them, it would come out, you've designated 2 lugim out of the wine in this barrel as truma. Sometime during Shabbos, very likely, you'll have drunk that truma, and the two lugim that you're separating at the end are not the truma, but rather something else. So therefore, they don't hold a breira. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a breira. So now, going back to what we were talking about on Amud Aleph, when you have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Doisa, can the owner of the field designate as hefker in advance the stalks that are going to be collected by the poor people? On the face of it, the way we had it, said that Rabbi Yehuda said you could, and Rabbi Doisa said you can't, but that would require us to use breira, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, breira doesn't work. So necessarily, for that reason alone, we have to flip around the opinions in the Braisa. So once we're doing that, then fine, we have to do that anyway in order to... So then, when we're doing that, then that also helps us reconcile it with Rabbi Yochanan and allows us to say then that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Tsnuin and Rabbi Doisa are both talking about before anything was picked, where for sure you have the ability to be makdish or makdirit, because it's still in your possession. And therefore, so then it's not contradicting what Rabbi Yochanan says, that you can't be makdish when it's not in your reshus. It's not contradicting that he says halacha kastam mishnah, that the halacha would be like that situation with the tsnuim, and like what Rabbi Yochanan says. However, the Gemara says, Amri, however, the B'nai HaYeshiva answered back, soif soif, amai after Slalom Masnissin. After all, what are you telling me that you want to flip around Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa's opinions? Vishum Dekasha de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda is because otherwise you have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, whether he holds a Breira or not. The problem with that is, in that case, Hashtanami, so now when you flip things around, Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, you're still going to be left with a contradiction between two things Rabbi Yehuda says. You're telling me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're saying that the tsnuim are not talking about what was already collected. They're talking about what will be collected and that they're mechalal in advance. Alma isle brera. So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yochanan holds a brera. He would hold like Rabbi Meir in that previous braisa who holds a brera. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan must lay brera. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't hold a brera. As we find the Amr of Asi Amr Rabbi Yochanan ha'achen shechoku, when brothers divide up their father's estate, lekuchas hein, they're considered like buyers. And they have to return their properties to one another in Yovel. We learned this in Gittin as well. In other words, if we said, if Rabbi Yochanan held a Breira, it would mean when Reuven receives the north side and Shimon receives the south side, for example, it would mean that retroactively, as of when their father passed away, already it was we can say the part that Reuven got on the north and the part that Shimon got on the south are both retroactively, this was meant to be theirs all along. But if we don't hold a Breira, then it means, in effect, Reuven could have equally well owned the south and Shimon the north. It means they traded with one another to get what they have now. Therefore, they're considered like buyers, and buyers have to return their property in Yovel. What that means exactly, whether it literally means that they return it and they do a whole new redivision, or whether it just means they return it to one another symbolically, and then they still continue to occupy the same land as before. We talked about that in Gittin. There are different possibilities that we shouldn't even bring up. The point is, though, Rabbi Yochanan obviously doesn't hold a Breira. Otherwise, that whole din wouldn't apply in the first place, because he would say each one is considered retroactively to be occupying the property that he was supposed to have all along. So we seem to be stuck. If we don't flip around the Braisa, then we have a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda, whether he holds a Breira or not. If we flip it around, then the result is we have a stira between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ela la'olam kolam nyoka. No, we're going to say that after all, we don't have to fix up the words of the Mishnah from Maaseh Sheni. We're saying that the Tznuim are saying kolam nyoka, everything that was picked, then everything that was picked, we're going to be mechalal on this money that we set aside. Rabbi Dosa is also talking about everything that was picked. What about Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can't be makdish dover shein b'shusay, and he's saying that the halacha is like a stam mishnah, which means, in other words, like the tznuim, and that he's saying tznuim and Rabbi Dosa say the same thing. No, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting himself, because stoma achrina ashka. Now, as far as Rabbi Yehuda, we still don't have a problem with Rabbi Yehuda if we don't flip around the braisa, because Rabbi Yehuda may hold a brera, and the reason is Rashi brings from other places where the Gemara brings that one about halakeach yainu ben akosim, that Rabbi Yehuda and the other chachamim with him point out, never mind the question of brera or not, isn't there the problem that over Shabbos the barrel might break and then all the wine is going to spill out, and then it's going to turn out that you never actually separated the truma and maaser at all. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda may well hold a Breira. He may agree with Rabbi Meir. Breira is fine, but you have the problem, Shema Yibaka Hanoi, that the wineskin or the barrel or whatever might break. So that wouldn't be a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's statement. As far as Rabbi Yochanan, your question is that, again, if the Mishnah and Maaseh Sheni and the Braisa with Rabbi Dosa are saying that you can be machalal something that's not in your rishus, well, how does that fit with what Rabbi Yochanan had said before that you can't do that? The answer is that because Rabbi Yochanan found a different stam mishnah that says that you can't be machdish something in your rishus. The tnan, namely, we learned in our mishnah at the beginning of our parak. Where we say that if Reuven stole something and then Shimon stole it from Reuven, then Shimon is not paying Tashlomei Kepel. Now why not? Now, am I? Why should he not have to? The Shlema Ganav Rishon Lemish, Laganav Rishon Lemishalem. I understand why he's not paying kefil to the first Ganav, because the Gunav Mibesa Ish Veloy Mibesa Ganav, because the Pasuk says it's stolen from the man's house, which comes to exclude not from the Ganav's house. At least though, shouldn't the second Ganav have to pay kefil to the owner? So both the first and the second Ganav should have to pay kefil because each one stole something that belonged to the owner. Evidently, we have to say, why doesn't the second Ganav pay kefil? Because at that point, it doesn't belong to the first Ganav anymore. And he doesn't have to pay, so that the second Ganav doesn't pay the first Ganav because it's not in his reshus, that it should be considered he stole from him. And it's not, he doesn't pay kefil to the second owner because it's not in his reshus. So therefore, by the same token, then Rabbi Yochanan can derive from there that you can't be makdish some the same way as you. He's not entitled to kefil because not birushosai. The same way he can't be makdish because not birushosai. So therefore, fine. Rabbi Yochanan has a stam mishnah to rely on, this stam mishnah over here in Bava Kamma, and therefore he's not worried about that the stam mishnah in Maaseh Sheni contradicts that point. Well, the question then is, my chazit's the ozel basra he stoma. In that case, then why? What makes Rabbi Yochanan decide to follow the stam mishnah here in Bava Kamma? Lev kihai stoma tznuin. Instead, if he holds halacha the stam mishnah, then he should hold the halacha is like tznuin of the mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, and say that you can be makdish something that's not birushosai. Now that we establish that mishnah does in fact mean kol anilka, that the tznuin are saying everything that was picked from this vineyard today is mechulal on this money. And the answer is mishum de messiah lekra, because Rabbi Yochanan says, because after all, our mishnah said, which implies that you can't be makdish something in your rishus, is supported by the pasuk, the ish kiyaktish is basic, kodesh lashem, where we said a person is makdish his house, just like when a house is by definition a person's rishus. So also anything else that he's makdish has to be in his rishus. So therefore, so that pasuk backs up the concept that you can only be makdish something that's in your rishus. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, if he's going to have a choice between two stam mishnas, is going to pick the one that upholds that way of that point. And that would be our mishnah here in Bava Kamma, rather than the mishnah that's nuin in Masechta Maaseh Sheni. Meanwhile, as we said before, Rabbi Shlokish doesn't have to agree with all of that, whether because he disagrees with the drasha from the pasuk, or because he holds the mishnah in Maaseh Sheni. Okay. So now we've covered everything. We've shown how there was no contradiction between what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. He holds halacha the stam mishnah, but the stam mishnah that he's basing himself on is on mishnah in Bava Kamma. He holds up the tznuin of the Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, and Rav Dosa of that Braisa of Upper Leket are both saying the same thing, but that's fine. He's not saying the halacha is like them, he's just saying they're both basing themselves on the same idea, that it could be makdish, something that's not in your rishus, but Rav Yechon is saying that's fine. They can hold that way, but I hold differently as our Mishnah in Bava Kamma Beirzeh. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Abaya, he loved Amar Rav Yochanan, snuin v'Rav Dosa, Amar Davar Echad. You know what? If it weren't for the fact that Rav Yochanan is saying that the snuin and Rav Dosa are saying the same thing, Haba Amina, I would have thought it's not necessarily that they both agree. Rav Yochanan is telling us that they both agree, they're both basing themselves on the same consideration. But maybe not necessarily, says Abaya. You could conceivably learn it differently. You could say, tznuin islahu did abdosa, but abdosa less like the tznuin. Maybe the tznuin, with what they do with the kerem rabbi, they would agree with what abdosa does about the leket, but not the other way around. Abdosa would not necessarily agree with what the tznuin do. We would say like this, tznuin islahu did abdosa, because we would say the tznuin agree with abdosa, and they would say, umma beganav of the rabban takanta, if even when it comes to a ganav, even though, what are we talking about? We said we're talking about during the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. The other people have no business going into his vineyard to take grapes in the first place. And we even had the expression on Aleph Haloteo L'Rosh V'Yomus. So now the Tznuin want to go the extra mile, and they're saying that they were going to go and be poida and be mechalal any of that fruit that was picked. where we could say that even though technically a person should not be able to be poyed as something in his reshus, nevertheless they're still going to go and they're still going to go and do that. They're going to say where the chachamim have made a special takana to allow them to do that, to save the ganovim from the avera of eating kerem avayu orla. So aniyim tzuchalamema, would it need to be said by aniyim that of course he has the ability to do that, where the aniyim are not even deliberately doing anything wrong, because after all, it's only that they don't know the detailed halachas of leket. So we could say that tznuin would agree with Reb Dosa's idea of doing that with leket. But Reb Dosa less played the tznuin, but Abaye says you could argue, if not for what Reb Yechanan said, you could argue that Reb Dosa does not agree with the tznuin. He would say, aniyim hu da'ovdu l'hu rabbanu takanta, only as far as the aniyim, the chachamim make such a takana and allow him to be mafkir, the grain, even when it's not in his possession anymore. But Rav Dosa might well hold that when it comes to ganavim, the chachamim are not going to make such takana. They're not going to make an exception to the rule that we just established before, that you can't be makdish something that's not in your rishus. They're not going to say that you can be mechalol something that's not in your rishus just to save a ganav for an avera. They would say that the Reb Dosa might well hold like what we said on Amud Aleph, halitayul rosh of yamus, and the chachamim are not going to and the chachamim are not going to make a takana that will make it possible to do differently. Similarly, Omar Rava. And Rava points out in a similar vein. He loved Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Snuin and Rab Dosa, Amar Dabar Achad. Again, if it weren't for Rabbi Yechanan saying that the Snuin and Rab Dosa are saying the same thing, you could argue a different reason why not to equate them. Have Amina, you could say, Man Tana Snuin, which Tana is it? The Tana of, in Maisa Sheni, who says this business about what the Snuin do, you could say Rab Meir. Maybe that would only be according to Rab Meir. Meaning, in other words, that the Reb Meir would have a special reason based on what we're going to say now, that he would say that tznuin have the ability to be mechalol their ma'aser sheni, even though it's not in their possession, but that would not necessarily apply to the Joseph's case involving the leket. Because we could say it like this, lav omer Reb Meir ma'aser mamon gavayahu, after all, Reb Meir says that ma'aser sheni is considered the property of Hashem. We learned about in Kiddushin, we talked about a couple of months back, we talked about, for example, can a man be Makadish a woman with Maisa Sheni? Reb Meir held that no, because the Maisa Sheni doesn't belong to him, and therefore it's not his to be Makadish with. It's not him to be Makadish with. And still in Pdia Oitmer Rachmana Birshose. And yet, as far as being Poide, the Torah treats it as though it was in his Rishus. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Vim Go Yigal Ishmi Maisre, Hamishisa Yosef Olav. The Pasuk says if a person is going to redeem, is going to be Poide, his own Maisre Sheni, then he has to add a Choymesh, he has to add 25% when he's to the value, when he's being Poide. So even though, so Kavi Rachmanim Maisroi, so we see the Torah is calling it his Maisr, Umoisif Choymesh, and that he's obligated to add a fifth, because after all, the din is, we learned in Kiddushin, that if you're Poida somebody else's Maisr Sheni, you don't have to add the Choymesh. If, according to the Meir, Maisr Sheni is Mom and Gavaya, shouldn't we consider it that it's not yours, and you never need to pay a Choymesh, yet the Pasuk treats it as though it was yours. So similarly, Rameo would say, the same way, when it comes to Kerem Revai nam, a goma kodesh kodesh mimaiser. Well, then he would learn of Zeta Shoba on the word kodesh from Meiser. Because Kerem Revai is described as kodesh. And it's a kodesh hilulim, it's holy, and you praise Hashem for it. So ma kodesh, just gabi meiser, af gabi in the moment gavoyahu. So what would we say? Just like by meiser, the mayor is holding its moment gavoya, it's Hashem's property. But yet, as far as redeeming it, Hashem treats it as though it's his and makes him pay a choymish. So therefore, the mayor would say the same thing applies to Kerem Revai. Even though it's not considered his property, as far as being machalal, the Torah would consider it to be in his possession. So only in this case then of Kerem Revai, then he's able to be moichel it. So So the same way as even though regular Maaseh Sheni or regular Kerem Revai is not in his possession in the first place, because once it's designated Maaseh Sheni or once it grows as Kerem Revai, it belongs to Hashem anyway. And yet Hashem makes it possible for him, the Torah makes it possible for him to be mechalal it, and the Torah requires him even to pay 1/5. An extra 25%. The same way over here, Mishum Hachi, Matzi Machel. Therefore, the Tzidurim would say, so therefore, once we have that concept, then we can extend it also, even if other people pick that fruit, that he should be able to be Machal as well. Avo Gabe Leket. When it comes by Leket, you want to be machala what the aniyim already took, which is not in your rishus. No, kibud mamona diday. It is, after all, his mamon, because the aniyim had no right to take these three stalks that fell together. So they would say, only when it is actually in his rishus does he have the ability to be machter it. But once it's out of his rishus, he wouldn't be able to be masculine anymore. So we could explain it that way, and therefore that wouldn't require us to say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Dosa and the Tznurin are both basing themselves on the same idea, that you can be makdish davar she'ein rishus. Rather, we would say that Tznurin have a special reason by Kerem Revai to say that you could be machalolet, because after all, according to the mayor, Kerem Revai in the first place isn't yours, and yet Hashem treats it as yours for certain purposes, so therefore, but Leket would be different. The Raivad points out, I mean, so what? Okay, he can't be master it, he could just be mosul to them. At least that way, they won't have committed gezel. And he says, the fact is, though, that still wouldn't make it hefker. The hefker would pater it to meiser. Being mosul to them would pater it from meiser, so they're still going to have the problem of tefker. So Rava is saying, here's another way. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that Tznurim and Rabbi Dosa are basing themselves on the same principle, but Rava is saying, leaving aside what Rabbi Yochanan says, we don't really necessarily have to say that. There is a different way of understanding what the Tznurim are saying. So now Rabbi Yochanan said, so we understand the reason is because they're saying that Tznurim hold, it doesn't even need to be Birushosei for any purpose at all. As long as he wasn't miyayish, he could be master or makdash or machalal. But Rava is saying, if it weren't for Rabbi Yochanan telling us that, we would have thought that the Tznurim are basing themselves on a different principle, on the principle of a mayor. And another one, Amr Ravina, and Ravina says here's another one also. He loved the Amr Yochanan Tznurim, but Abdoisa Amr Dover Achor. Here's another way of looking at it. If it weren't for Rabbi Yochanan telling us and explaining to us on what basis the Tznurim are doing what they're doing, then I would have thought, and he tells us it's based on Abdoisa's principle that it can be Machdu or Machdish, something that's not in Yerushus. Have Amina, if it weren't for that, Man Tanat Tznurim, Abdoisa. Another way of understanding would be that the Tznurim themselves are the opinion of Rabbi Dosa. In other words, what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? The Tznurim and Rabbi Dosa are saying the same thing. In other words, they are in fact two different Tanoim. They follow two different opinions, but they both agree with this concept that it can be Makdish or Machal or something that's not in Yerushus. Says Rabbina, you don't necessarily have to say that. You could, after all, understand that the Tana of the Mishnah that mentions what the Tznurim did is Rabbi Dosa himself. And that has the advantage, says Ravina. Before we had the question, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold halacha kastam mishnah? And yet over here he's saying the halacha is not like the tznurim of that mishnah in Maaseh Sheni. So before we had to say, because we have a stam mishnah here in Bava Kamma that says that Rabbi Yochanan. Ravina is saying you don't even need that. You have a very simple answer. Because Rabbi Yochanan kastam yichida loy omar. When Rabbi Yochanan says halacha kastam mishnah, he would mean not a stam mishnah that is only according to one tana. And in that case, if we understand, so we could conceivably have understood that the mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni is in fact according to Rabbi Dosa, and that would allow us to neatly sidestep the question because Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't hold the halacha is like such a stam mishnah anyway. But in fact, Rabbi Yochanan has told us that no, the tznurim are not Rabbi Dosa himself. They just agree with him on this point. Well, then that would have still left us with the question: what does he do with halacha kastam mishnah? And the answer was that he has a different stam mishnah in Bava Kamma, which is also backed up by a posse. And Tosfos points out, in fact, there are all other places in Shas where the Gemara assumes that yes, Rabbi Yochanan does hold halacha kastam mishnah even when it's only according to one tana. And that's just it. Ravina is saying if Rabbi Yochanan hadn't told us about the Tznuin and Abdosa, then we would have understood that that Mishnah is specifically according to Abdosa, and then we would say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to hold the halacha is like that. Now that instead Rabbi Yochanan told us that's not so, and the Tznuin and Abdosa agree with the same premise, but they're not the same Tana, now we don't have to say that, now we don't have to say that Rabbi Yochanan is ignoring that, now we don't have to say that Rabbi Yochanan is not following that Stam Mishnah because it's a Das Yochid, rather he's not following it because it's contradicted by a Mishnah in Rabbi Kama, and Rabbi Yochanan is following that, that Stam Mishnah. So we've worked out what Rabbi Yochanan says, and we've shown that that what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is actually a tremendous chiddush, because if it weren't for that, we would have had several other ways to explain the opinion of the Tznuim. And now Abaye and Rava and Rabina are all telling us that it's not so. The correct way to understand that Mishnah is the way Rabbi Yochanan said, that they're agreeing with Rabbi Dosa's premise, that you can be makdish something that's not in your rishus. However, Rabbi Yochanan himself disagrees with that concept. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll talk about another angle on this point of not being makdish, of not being able to be makdish something that's not in your rishus. Shukriya, everyone.